Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, there's quite a bit to talk about this week, folks. MJF making some waves by saying he's unhappy with his contract. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Roman Reigns possibly being out of Money in the Bank and possibly being out of some other premium live events down the road. But the first thing we wanted to discuss, because this has been a matter of contention online, is this upcoming Money in the Bank. They have Hell in a Cell coming up, and of course, you know, Money in the Bank usually leads to whoever pulls down the briefcase can get a title shot anytime they want, cash it in anytime they want. Well, some people had brought it to the attention of the masses that Cody Rhodes said that whoever gets the briefcase will go on to headline WrestleMania, almost like it was a winning the Royal Rumble. Not true, folks. You got to listen to what he said. It was not very articulately written, and I'm sure it was written for him, and it was not written very articulately, but he did not say, if you win the Money in the Bank briefcase, you headline WrestleMania. What he said was, you could go on to headline WrestleMania. So theoretically, you could win Money in the Bank, cash it in the next night, be the champion, and go on to headline WrestleMania. That's what he meant. He did not mean that is an automatic. So for all the confusion of people saying they're changing Money in the Bank to be like the Royal Rumble, it's not cash in anytime you want now, it's going to be like the Royal Rumble, that's not true. You have to listen to exactly what he said. Again, I agree with you. It wasn't very well written. But Mike, you know, I think people make a lot out of nothing sometimes, and I've listened to it four times, and that's exactly what he meant.
Right, and this is another case of a guy wanting to say something and mean it, and the writers writing it poorly. I mean, that's what this is, and it all goes. We've said it before. It all goes back to the laziness of the WWE. We know what Cody meant when he, we know what Cody Rhodes meant when he, what he wanted to say, what he meant, you know? We know what
right.
he meant. It's just the way it was written. It was written very poorly.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, it's caused some controversy. I don't know, maybe that's what they wanted, a little bit of controversy over it, Todd. But you heard the commercial. Did you hear it that way? Did you hear it's an automatic WrestleMania main event, or did you hear what I heard, which is you could go on to theoretically highlight or main event WrestleMania?
When I saw that, when I watched the commercial the other night with Cody Rhodes saying, if you win the Money in the Bank match, you go to WrestleMania to face that champion. That's what I saw. It looks like they changed the format of how you cash it in or anything.
See, this is where the confusion is. They're going to have to clarify this because that's not what I heard. What I heard is once you get the Money in the Bank briefcase, you could cash it in any time. And if you're successful, then you could go on to main event WrestleMania. That's what I heard Cody saying. Some people heard it your way, see? And that's why the internet is flooded with, they've changed Money in the Bank. Now, I'm all for changing Money in the Bank. Trust me, I'm all for changing Money in the Bank. And the reason I'm all for changing it is the Royal Rumble would be a million times more interesting if we didn't know who was going to win, which 99% of the time we do. At least if it's Money in the Bank, it's down to just two or three guys, four or five guys. With the Royal Rumble, there's how many, 30? Potentially, if the Royal Rumble wasn't for a main event at WrestleMania, anybody could win. R-Truth could win. Tozawa could win. It would be much more interesting to see that kind of a Royal Rumble where you say literally anybody can win than it would be to say, well, who's going to main event WrestleMania? That's we can narrow that down. I'd rather narrow down Money in the Bank. But that's not the way I'm promising you that's not the way this is working. Money in the Bank's going to stay exactly the same as it always was. Cody's point was if you win and cash it in successfully before WrestleMania, you could potentially main event WrestleMania. Anyway, let's get on to another thing. Apparently, Bill DeMott and some other people have been saying that Sonny should be removed from the WWE Hall of Fame. And Sonny has kind of struck back. Now, I'm not defending Sonny. What she did was absolutely undefendable. Her blood alcohol level was 3 times higher than normal. She doesn't really seem to show much remorse for the fact that the accident ended up killing a 75-year-old man. She's had 100 million chances. So believe me when I tell you, I'm not defending her. But she's right when she tweets, Bill DeMott's the last person to talk. He can't be taken from the Hall of Fame because he's not even in it. But if he was, he'd be removed for harassing all the females, doing horrible things with some of the male tryouts, and we've heard all this about bullying and beating them up and castigating them and all kinds of horrible things that he did. Apparently now sexual harassment to some of the females. She's absolutely right. Bill DeMott's the last person to talk. Bill DeMott needs to shut his mouth. Now, as far as my personal opinion on Sonny, everything she did that caused the WWE to want to put her in the Hall of Fame, she did at a time when she wasn't doing any of this. So let's say tomorrow, someone who was put in the Baseball Hall of Fame at 80 years old does something horrible, goes a little nutso and shoots somebody. Do you remove him? Do you say, oh, well, then everything he did when he was young doesn't count? Forget it. He's out. Do you do that? I don't think you do that. I just don't think you do that. Sonny's in the Hall of Fame for things she did when she was in the WWE. The things she has done since being removed from the WWE has little or nothing to do with it. If you found out she did these things beforehand, in other words, if you put somebody in the Hall of Fame and you find out, well, they're an embezzler and they're actually a Russian spy or something, yeah, you got to take them out. Of course you do. Because when you inducted them, they were already guilty of those things. And you didn't know it. After they get done with their career, it's over. Their career is over. Anything they do now is irrelevant to the WWE. So I do not see any need for Bill DeMott or anybody else to say Sonny needs to be removed from the Hall of Fame, Mike, for things she did after her career.
Right. It would be different if she was, say, I don't know, like Pete Rose or Shula Jackson, right? That, you know, with the Black Sox scandal and him and Pete Rose with his gambling, right? He did that as he was playing before he had a chance to go into the Hall of Fame, right? And he's still not, right. And Pete Rose and neither one of them are in the Hall of Fame because of it, right? And a lot of these guys that did the steroids in baseball aren't in the Hall of Fame or probably going to go in the Hall of Fame, but probably maybe shouldn't. But again, it's one of those things, half a dozen, six of them. So like you said, she did her work in the Hall of Fame. She did what she did to get into the Hall of Fame was before everything happened, including her husband's death. you know. And you can make an argument that her life started to spiral after Chris Candido died. You can make that argument.
Yeah, Mike, that's a very, very valid point. And I'm going to tell you something. There were people who say, look, she was a wild thing and a little crazy before his death. But you're right. There's a lot of guilt there, I think. There was a lot of guilt that she needed to deal with. And I think she dealt with it in a bad way. But for Bill DeMott to literally say she has to be taken out of the Hall of Fame, for what reason, Bill? So at this particular point, like Derek in the chat room is saying, you know, listen, is Ty Cobb a wonderful guy? What did we find out about Ty Cobb? Are you going to remove him from the Baseball Hall of Fame? And that was while he was actually contributing to baseball. We are talking about a woman whose life spiraled out of control mostly after she was done with the WWE. So just because the WWE gives you a ring does not mean for life you have to be a model citizen or you're removed. Once you are no longer being paid by the WWE, I mean, your life is your life. If you screw it up, you screw it up. It's a shame. But you can't say, well, you know, I let down the WWE. What are you talking about? You don't work there anymore. Should we start doing that with high school sports and things? Should we start taking away gold medals if we find out something horrible about the people after they won them that has nothing to do with them competing in the Olympics? If we find out tomorrow that Mark Spitz said something incorrect the day before yesterday, should he be vilified? It doesn't make any sense. None of that makes any sense. Bill DeMott's an idiot. She deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for the things she accomplished while she was there. Has zero to do with what is happening now. And to be perfectly honest, she does raise one good point. She said, well, this is still a trial. I mean, I haven't told my side of the story. I've not been found guilty. Now, is she guilty? Of course she's guilty. But the bottom line of the situation is it doesn't even matter. If she's found not guilty, fine. If she's found guilty, well, it still doesn't affect her Hall of Fame status, in my opinion, Todd, because the things she did to get there, she did before this happened.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Bill DeMott, and he's a moron, technically. And, you know, well, with Sonny's case, like you said, they're entitled to a fair trial and everything for her case for the accident. And like you said, she got every right to have her own side of the story and her trial for killing the 75-year-old guy.
Yeah, of course she does. Of course she has a right to it. It's absurd for somebody to. Now, Chris Benoit, see, is a little bit different. If that situation, when they eliminated him from all WWE programming, he was actively a member at the time. It was very hard for them to juxtapose it. What are you supposed to do? It was a very difficult situation. I'm sure it was a difficult decision. But at some point, they made the decision, well, it's better to just remove him because he was, in fact, an active member of our roster when this incident occurred, regardless of what you believe. So I can see that. Now, if Sonny had been doing all this, if Sonny was an active member of the roster today and still in the Hall of Fame and did this, I would say absolutely, absolutely got to go. Absolutely, because you absolutely were taking money from the company. You absolutely were representing the company, and you failed. So they cannot reward someone who has totally given them a black eye. But WWE is not responsible for what somebody does, much less when they've left the fold. They're not responsible for what somebody does in their free time now. There's a morals clause in these contracts, but they're not responsible for you. They don't babysit you. But what are you going to do, babysit somebody for life? What happens if this happened when she was 80? Do you want them to now remove her from the Hall of Fame at 80? Is that what you want? That's just dumb. That's just dumb. Now let's get on to the Roman Reigns situation, because rumors are flying all over the place. The first rumor was that Roman Reigns was going to be doing a movie. He was going to be gone for most of the summer. You weren't going to see him in any of the pay-per-views. You weren't going to see him on television. You weren't going to see him. Then came back, no, that's not true. He has signed a new contract. It's a very reduced schedule. He's not going to be doing house shows, mostly, unless it's a very important house show. He's mostly just going to be doing television and the pay-per-views. Then came the third report of, well, he's not going to be doing television every week, and he's not going to be in every pay-per-view through the summer. So we're a little confused about what his situation really is. But the word is that he's not going to be at Hell in a Cell, and it certainly does appear that the two Hell in a Cell matches would be Bobby Lashley and Omos, and I would gather it would be Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Those would be your two feature people. I don't think there's going to be a female Hell in a Cell, because that would have probably had to be Ronda Rousey and Charlotte, and Charlotte is gone. We'll talk about that in a minute. So what I'm gathering is this. Roman Reigns is in this situation where he's almost in a Brock Lesnar-type contract deal. He can work certain times. He's going to be on television more because they need him on the television. They're not going to let him do the Brock Lesnar if I'm not doing much television. They're going to make him do the television as much as possible. But you see, this television thing can be very deceptive, because you can do 2 weeks' worth. You just make sure the Usos are wearing the same shirt, right? And if, as long as they're not in the crowd, as long as they don't walk out in front of a live crowd, you could do backstage Roman Reigns, and you could have taped it all in one night. In other words, Roman Reigns and the Usos are talking to each other. You do a three-minute segment. You do five of them, four of them, and Roman Reigns don't have to show up for the month. You just air one a week. Make it look like it's live. No one's going to know the difference as long as you don't walk out in front of the crowd. And the Usos are wearing virtually the same stuff. So we're not sure what his limitations on the television is. But apparently the WWE is going to try to do this thing by which they want to make his title reign stretch. My assumption is they can't figure out what to do till WrestleMania. That's my assumption. We said they were going to run into this trouble. Who are you going to throw against Roman Reigns for, you know, May and June and July and August and September and October and November and December and January? Who are you going to do? What? In February. That's a lot of contenders. You have nobody. Think what they're going to try to do here, folks, is they're going to try to have him show up as little as possible. If they can do this and say, well, we'll have three or four matches, title defenses, before WrestleMania, that's not so bad. They can figure out something. They can do Drew McIntyre. Maybe they can pull off a Seth Rollins or a Cody Rhodes leading up to WrestleMania, if, in fact, they still do want The Rock, and it does look like they do. So I think, Mike, this is sort of their way out of not having to book them a lot.
Right. This isn't Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar refused to show up. You would see him at the beginning of January, and he wouldn't show up until WrestleMania, right? That was Brock Lesnar, right? This isn't going to be Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns may show up once a month, and I'm talking about live, you know. He may show up once a month live. Every other time it's going to be, you know, like you said, a tape thing with the Usos wearing the same shirt and Paul Heyman in the same suit and all this stuff, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be a tape thing unless they magically decide to do something with the Usos and Naomi, you know. Unless that happens.
Well, I think that's
if
true.
That's the, yeah. Yeah.
I
if
do
that,
think that's
if
true.
That happens, yeah, yeah. If that happens, then Sure, he's going to show up because they're going to want, if it's the whole bloodline thing, they're going to want him there for her to say something to him, you know? And I'm not so sure they couldn't tape that either.
Oh, they could. They absolutely could. They could already have all that taped. Now, I'm hearing that Jimmy Uso kind of let the cat out of the bag and said she's absolutely going to be a part of it eventually, because the plan seems to be that they're pushing for the bloodline to own every single one of the belts. I don't know how they're going to do that, maybe except for not 24/7, and probably not, maybe not even the U.S. and Intercontinental. But I think what they're going to try to do here is somehow say we're going to unify all of the belts, and that would give Roman Reigns 2, that would give the Usos 4, that's 6. And then if Naomi unified it, that would be 8, and then they would have all the main belts. I don't know if the WWE is going to go for that, but I'm hearing that that's something that's on the table that the writers have considered. Now, whether McMahon nixes this or I don't know, but that's what I've heard. As far as, again, Derek in the chat room saying, is Bayley going to return? Because you're going to need somebody with Charlotte out. I don't know. I've heard nothing. I don't think so. I mean, from everything that I've heard, Bayley's okay to go. But, you know, she's not been around. I don't see the storyline she's going to fit into right now. The storyline right now seems to be Ronda Rousey's the champion. She's going to obviously... She can't take on Charlotte for a rematch. So my thought process would be that they would maybe try to do some kind of a thing with her unifying. Depending on who, I don't know who's going to win the, I mean, we get, who we have, Asuka and Becky Lynch and obviously, I can't even think of her name now, Bianca Belair. And that looks like that's going to be a three-way dance. Maybe the winner tries to unify that. I don't know. See, the WWE paints themselves in a corner a lot with this kind of stuff. Now, as far as Charlotte, let's talk a little bit about Charlotte. There was a big rumor that she was getting married, and that's why she was taking some time off. I guess that's the truth. But I think there might be a little more to it than just I'm taking time off to get married and have my honeymoon. Because what I'm hearing is it's an indefinite period of time. So honeymoon is a definite period of time. You say, I'm going to take a week off to get married, or a couple weeks off to get married, a couple weeks off for a honeymoon, give me a month and I'll be back. Indefinite means it could be 3-5 months. We don't know. Now, I would take it that her contract is frozen during this part and that she's not just writing her contract out. So she still has a good long time left. It's going to hurt the women's division. Yes, it is. Because Ronda Rousey doesn't have any really good contenders. Think about it. Who do we have over there? Not a ton of people. Not a ton of people at all. And even if Bayley was to come back, it would be a very poor opponent for Ronda Rousey. Because I have the sneaking suspicion that when Bayley comes back, fans are going to pop. And you don't want that. You don't want them to pop. Because then that undermines Ronda Rousey. And she's right back in a situation where, oh, she's getting booed again. With Charlotte, she was getting cheered, but now she's back to being the heel in the eyes of the fans. I don't think you want that. So it's kind of written themselves in a corner over that, Mike.
Right, and think about this. Remember, there was a rumor that Charlotte was going to go off and film a movie or film a show for USA. Basically, what was that movie that The Rock did about the Marine that came out down? What was the Walking Tall? It was a TV show that. Yeah, it was going to be a TV show that, or a movie or something that she was going to do for USA, and in the hopes that maybe it would turn into a TV show, maybe. So maybe it's partially it's partially the fact that she's getting married, but it could be partially the fact that she's going off to actually film this movie for USA.
Yeah, well, there's certainly that. I mean, that's a part of it. But I don't know. I mean, indefinite period of time has me a little bit confused, because usually the WWE is not like that. Usually the WWE says we have an exact time frame by which you're due back. Indefinite, she's not injured. Now, I don't know if she's having more surgery work done. She could be. She could be. Charlotte tries to keep that private now because everybody teases her about it, and everybody's people are very cruel online. I mean, the wrestling fan base, let me say this about some of the wrestling fan base, specifically the ones on the internet. There's something wrong with them, a good amount of them, because they exist only to try to troll people who they shouldn't care that much about. That's why their hero is CM Punk, because that's what CM Punk does. So they're all trying to be CM Punk behind their keyboards. And they say these horrible things about Charlotte Flair, and she's probably taken it to heart and said, if I'm going to have an operation of any kind, I'm not going to broadcast it because I'm going to be made fun of. You know, the CM Punk came out and said all kinds of stupid things about Eric Bischoff. He's wrong, of course. CM Punk is wrong 99% of the time. And here's the thing that fans don't know about CM Punk. He's just talking, folks. You know how easy that is? He knows he's full of shit. He just wants you to get talking about him as we are right now. See how successful that is? So if I was to say something on this radio show that was so outrageous that everybody listening said, did you hear what he said? Well, that's just going to be publicity for me, even if I don't mean one damn word of it. So what you need to understand about CM Punk is he doesn't believe in anything except putting money in his pocket. So when he says outrageous things, when he comes on Twitter or wherever and says these ridiculous things, it's just to stir up interest in his name again. He's a one-trick pony, and he's always been a one-trick pony. He's good on the mic. He's good at self-promotion. He's an average to slightly below average wrestler, in my opinion. And without that mic skill, he'd never be anybody. And he understands that very clearly. So once every so often, he says something that you go like, oh, my God, did you hear what he said? And then everybody types in, I got to go to my wrestling clubs and write it all in what he said. And people say, he's right. He's an idiot. And it doesn't matter because his name is being bandied about again. And that's the way he makes money. So I think, we got to take that into consideration too, Mike, that maybe she wants some privacy about some things that, really isn't any of our concern.
Yeah, they really are our concern. And think about this. Let's just say you're talking about CM Punk and what he does and stuff like that. Think about this. Early on in Howard Stern's career, what was he? He was almost on a daily basis, Howard Stern would say something outrageous, right? And
yeah,
it worked. His listenership grew. His radio got bigger and bigger. His radio got bigger and bigger to the point of where at one point he was on, he had a TV show on E! Basically, they recorded his radio show, but that's neither here nor there. That's how these things work. People like that, people like Martin Downey Jr. He got so big because at one point he ended up being on WWE. He got what's his name, Jerry Springer. At one point he got so big that he was able to run for mayor of Cleveland, I think, or something.
Right. Well, take a look at Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan didn't do it on purpose. But Joe Rogan got a taste of that. Joe Rogan says some things that people think are controversial. Now everybody says, fire him, take him off Sirius. Neil Young says, I'll take my music off if he's going to be on there. I won't want my music on there. And the next thing you know, he's the number one guy because everybody's like, well, who's this guy? Who's this guy everybody's talking about? That's the way it works. CM Punk's got that figured out. So really all he does is troll fans. That's why I don't like him. He's very disingenuous. He doesn't mean any of it. It's very easy for me to say, I think that the most controversial thing in the world, I think that trans women should have full carte blanche to take over women's sports. And everybody says, oh, my God, did you hear what he just said? Trans athletes are far superior than women, but they should have hold all the women's titles and all the women's records. Oh, well, that's an outrageous thing to say. Okay, well, guess what? Talk about me then. And I don't even mean it. See, that's the problem with CM Punk. It's easy to come up with something to just say. Oh, I'll say this, and people will start talking about me. I'll say that, and people will start talking about me. So I'll just say, oh, well, I got news for you. Tony Khan is communist. And all of his ideas come from a communist manifesto, and he's a traitor to this country. I don't mean any of it. I don't know any of that's a fact. In fact, it's not a fact. I can tell you right now it's not a fact. Doesn't matter. If that got people saying, oh, my God, did you hear what he said? Well, the next thing you know, it's all over the Internet. Oh, some guy from WrestleChat Radio has accused Tony Khan, and it's outrageous what he said. Yeah, well, my name's out there, though. That's just a lazy way of promoting yourself, and that's why I've never liked CM Punk. He takes the lazy way every single time. If the only way you can get heat is to pretend to spread the ashes of a dead man in somebody's face or punch a man who legitimately had a heart attack, you don't know how to get heat. Because anybody could get heat that way. Why don't you kick a puppy while you're at it? I mean, you know, it's stupid. And that's why I've never been a CM Punk fan. Anyway, let's get on to MJF because this is really interesting. MJF went on a interview where he said what I thought was a perfectly logical thing. He said, look, when my contract comes up, I'm going to listen to both sides, and whoever comes up with the most money, that's where I'm going to end up being because, I have no problem working with the WWE, and I like working with AEW. So, you know, now it's just a matter of money. Well, yeah, that's a good thing for a business person to have on their mind. Where are you going to make the most money? Where are you going to have the most fame? But I had told everybody ahead of time, when you're somebody who is a goal wrestler and you really honestly want to do nothing but highlight, look how good I am. Look how many moves I know. I can do 30-minute match and I can pull out all these great moves. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Then you want to be in AEW because AEW will allow you to do that. If you want to be a superstar, if you want to have your face on a cereal box and a lunch pail, and a cartoon made out of you, and all that kind of stuff, and not bust your ass and probably work a lot of six-minute matches where you do next to nothing, you want to work for the WWE. And I always said MJF would rather be a superstar than be known as a superstar than a great, great wrestler. See, a lot of people say, well, I'm a world-famous wrestler, but what they mean is I'm a world-famous celebrity. I'm not really famous for my wrestling. Is Steve Austin famous for his wrestling, or is he famous for his image? Is he famous for being stone cold, the guy who opens up a can of whoop-ass, and the guy who says Austin 316, and that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so? What is he famous for? Is he famous for his actual wrestling ability, or is he famous for that character? The answer is he's famous for that character. The Rock is famous for that character. The Undertaker is famous for that character. Now, I'm not saying they can't work good matches. I'm just saying that if they didn't have those, then they wouldn't be who they were. And you're not going to get them at AEW. Stone Cold Steve Austin would still be the ringmaster at AEW. And they'd be telling him, well, come on, dude, you know, pick up the pace here a little bit. You're a little slow, and we need you to do more stuff and everything. And Austin probably wouldn't have been able to do it, and he would have been middle of the pack. In WWE, he's a superstar because he has that personality. I think MJF wisely sees this and says, am I going to be crippled when I'm 35? Or am I going to go to the WWE and probably work a hell of a lot lighter matches, use the mic a lot, become a superstar, get really, really super rich, and still be known as a great wrestler? Because when you ask somebody, well, who's Stone Cold Steve Austin? They'll say, oh, he's a very famous wrestler. They won't say he's a very famous character, but that's kind of what he is. So, Todd, I think it makes a lot of sense for MJF to want to go to the WWE.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember a couple of months ago we were talking about Cody Rhodes having issues with Tony Khan and everything, disagreements and everything, contracts and not being happy where he's at. It's like MJF, he's going through the same thing what Cody Rhodes went through.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And now Cody Rhodes coming over there gives him some inroads as well, no pun intended, because they're not treating Cody Rhodes horribly. And certainly MJF knows they're not going to treat him horribly. Certainly he knows that. Now, the one thing he better know and he better clearly understand is because of his size, he's not going to be a world beater. So if his goal is, I want to be a world champion and I want to hold the title for a year, you better stay in AEW. WWE's not going to give you that. What they're going to give you is the same thing they give The Miz, basically. You might hold the minor titles and things, but The Miz is, I believe, quite a bit bigger even than MJF. Size-wise, they might give you a minor title run as an Intercontinental or a U.S. champion, but I think they're going to want you for your mic skills. They're going to want you for that character. They're going to want you to get in that ring and just tear people apart and then have a five-minute match, and that's good enough. And I don't know how much, you know, they're going to push you. They'll certainly push you some. But I wouldn't expect to see MJF as the WWE champion. I don't think that's where they're heading with that. Take a look at the people they've had be champion. Bobby Lashley, huge. Drew McIntyre, huge. Brock Lesnar, huge. Roman Reigns isn't huge, but he's big. Roman Reigns is about my size. What is he, about 6'3", 250? Approximately my size. So he's still a big guy, pretty big guy. Not huge, but he's a big guy. Lesnar and Lashley aren't tall, but they're huge. And Drew McIntyre's both. What's Drew McIntyre? 6'6", 6'7"? Probably 260, 270? So the WWE tends to want champions that are pretty big guys. MJF's not that. But man, oh man, is he going to have a huge impact. And I think he knows that. I think he knows that. Plus the zeros that's going to be on that contract. So, Mike, I think this is inevitable, really. I think MJF grew up a WWE fan. He was a huge Roddy Piper fan, apparently. He understands. Roddy Piper understood, too. Is Roddy Piper famous for his technical wrestling expertise? Is Roddy Piper famous for all those wonderful moves he did? Or is Roddy Piper famous for his mouth and Piper's pit? And I think that, you know, a guy like MJF realizes that, and I think that's why he is going to make the jump.
Right, and think about this. Theory's about the same size as MJF. Think about it. You know? Now, are they going to push Theory at one point to be champion, be world champion? Maybe, maybe not. But he's about the same size as MJF. Maybe a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit smaller. I don't know, but whatever, you know? And that's the thing. And yeah, if he wants to be a superstar, yeah. Yeah, go to the WWE. Okay, now another person that's that way is Abaddon. Abaddon's a character. Okay, Abaddon's a character. She's not known for her wrestling. Is Abaddon, you know, and that's the thing. And that's the thing. There are a couple of people that are in AEW right now that aren't known for their wrestling. They're known for being characters, and they are, and like I said, they are Abaddon and they are MJF.
I would agree with that. I would have to agree with that. If anyone thinks that Abaddon is better off in AEW than she would be in WWE, that's crazy. The only thing I will say is I don't know if they'd even – they might let it have to tone it down a little bit. I don't know. But I do know this. That's a character that would certainly be marketable and you could cash in on it. See, AEW hasn't really done that. You have somebody like Abaddon who has that image. It's very marketable. The WWE would have ran with that. The WWE would have made that person extremely famous, almost unbeatable for a little bit, so they could have sold a ton of merchandise. AEW thinks more along the lines of, well, she's a decent wrestler, so we'll use her as a decent wrestler. This is the different philosophies of the two federations. That's why I said I think Bray Wyatt would be making a huge mistake going there. Because as much as Tony Khan may be a fan of Bray Wyatt, I think he's going to look at him in the ring and say, look, he's a decent wrestler. So we'll use him as a decent wrestler. Now, Bray Wyatt has to be a star, or there's no point of hiring him. He's either one of your top guys or just leave him. There's no point in him being middle of the pack. That's not where a guy like Bray Wyatt flourishes. You don't put a guy like Bray Wyatt middle of the pack. He doesn't have to be the champion. But he's got to be a featured guy. He's got to be on your television set pretty much weekly or damn near it. And you got to make some time to promote him and market him and all that kind of stuff. Or there's really no point in signing him because that's his worth. A guy like Ricochet you bring in, you don't have to market him. You just say, Ricochet, you cut loose. Do what you're going to do. Show everybody what you can do. And everybody's like, it's amazing. He's fantastic. Yeah, I know. But he has no character. So that is exactly what you're trying to press, is his athletic ability, his in-ring ability, his move set, all that kind of stuff. That's an AEW thing. A guy like Enzo, a guy like Bray Wyatt, Abaddon, MJF, those type of guys, those are tailor-made WWE people. Because it's centrally focused on their character. Now, rarely some people can do both. There are some people who can literally, do you remember the early days of ECW? And they would bring in guys from other federations once in a while, like Sid Vicious. Now, let me tell you something. Logically speaking, from his size and his power, Sid Vicious should have been able to tear ECW apart. Should have been able to go in the dressing room and throw people out there like they were M&Ms. But when he got in that ECW ring, ECW fans didn't like it. They were like, now he's going to ruin it because he's not this style and he's going to come in here and be like, I'm invincible and we don't like that. See, it doesn't fit. I'm not saying Sid wasn't great. Sid was fantastic. I love Sid. But he didn't fit there. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying about Bray Wyatt and AEW. He doesn't fit there. He'd be very dumb to go there. He'd be going there strictly for the money. I think that would be a mistake. One more thing we want to talk about, too, is that Cesaro apparently has priced himself so high on the independent scene that nobody can really afford to hire him. That's why you're not really going to be seeing him on independent cards. I'm hearing his price is astronomical, and he's doing it on purpose. And the reason he's doing it on purpose is because if he starts doing a lot of indie shows, he thinks maybe he will have a schedule where if a big federation calls him, like AEW or Impact, he won't be able to go right away. So he's negotiating right now and doesn't want to do indie shows in case he gets hurt. Or, you know, something happens and schedule overlay or whatever. So Cesaro's just kind of sitting it out. Because when a wrestler does this, when a wrestler prices themselves that high, Adam Scheer did that, Braun Strowman, priced himself so high for a while that you weren't going to get him. And then he kind of brought his price down just before he started his own federation. Control your narrative. Cesaro's going to do the same thing. Cesaro's going to sit this out for a while. And he doesn't want to do the indie show, so not because he doesn't want to see the fans or not because he doesn't want to wrestle, because he doesn't want to get hurt or take a chance on getting hurt if a major federation is interested, and I'm sure they are. Now, Cesaro is a guy that absolutely AEW should pick up. He's not great on the mic. He's not going to give you all kinds of character, but he's going to give you such a great wrestling match. This is what I've been saying when I say it's two different animals. You know, you can have pizza, but you can have two different kinds of pizza. You go to get a pizza from one pizzeria, and it's a thin crust, and it's very crispy, and you can kind of break it off and eat it piece by piece, and another one is kind of a thicker crust that you have to chew, and it's still pizza. But it's two totally different foods, really, because they don't taste anything the same. Well, that's AEW and WWE. Cesaro is an AEW-type guy, 1,000%. MJF? I'm looking at WWE thinking that's more their style, Todd.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about what was Cesaro having this price too high for anybody to hire him for anything. Well, like you said, it's sort of like a smart move right there on part of him, like Braun Strowman did with his when he first left the WWE. He put his price so high, this way nobody will hire him. He did a smart move too. This way he don't get injured at one of these little independent federations or independent shows too as well. Smart move on him.
Yeah, I think that's right. And Mike, again, we've covered this, ad infinitum there that it's definitely an AEW type style wrestler in Cesaro.
That's right. And I mean, think about it. Tony Nese, who obviously is a very good wrestler, and he does have that character of the premier athlete. He's basically an AEW guy, type guy, just like Cesaro is, and that's the thing. And they would eat Cesaro up there, And think about this. You look at what happened when Sarah Logan decided to come back to try and get in shape, right? She didn't price herself out of reach of any of these federations. It just so happened that she ended up in Control Your Narrative, but she didn't price her because she knows that no matter what, her goal is going to be to get back to the WWE. So, but to do that, she has to get back in shape, and so she didn't sit here and price herself all that high so that she can go and do a Control Your Narrative and maybe a few other places to get back in shape. So it's one half, six of one and one half dozen of the other with these people. Cesaro priced himself so high because he felt like he didn't want to get hurt, whereas Sarah Logan didn't.
Yeah, the difference is I think Cesaro understands very clearly a big federation's going to come to call. Now, Sarah Logan probably figured, well, I've had a child. I'm going to have to prove myself. I'm going to have to go on the indies and prove, look, I can still do it or nobody's going to hire me. So that's two different situations, If you're a person who already is proven and it's already kind of a given that you're going to get a major federation interest, then probably your best bet is to not go on the indies and risk getting hurt. But if you're someone that's been out of the business a year or you haven't really done anything, you might have to. You may have to go on the indies. Look at Morrissey there, big cast. WWE's let him go for good reason if he had alcohol problems and behavioral issues and stuff. And then he really went through a bad time. I mean, Enzo said at one point he had to stop him from committing suicide. Somebody's going to hire a guy like that. They're going to say, yeah, that's just trouble. Why am I giving that guy any money? I'm not going to do that. So he had to go get himself in the best shape of his life, hit every little indie place he could until somebody gave him a chance, maybe an Impact or something else, keep proving himself until people say, looks like he cleared up all of his issues and he's really, come a long way. Maybe now we'll take a chance on him. So it really depends on the individual person, Mike.
It really does. I mean, he ended. What was the name of that federation down there in Texas that he ended up in at one point? What is it?
Yeah,
I can't remember
absolutely.
The name of it now because I haven't seen
Kevin
it in a while. But Kevin. Yeah, that federation, and Now he's looks like he's kind of found somewhat of a home with AEW, which is, again, this is a guy that is a character guy, but he can go, you know, and he is a Vince McMahon type of guy. He's a big, rangy, muscular guy now, you know.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. A lot of people had said that when he made his debut on AEW, that an awful lot of WWE people sat up and took notice and said, "Oh, he's looking good. That's the type of person we want." Now, I don't know if AEW has signed him. My thought is he was on an individual appearance, which honestly, I don't blame Tony Khan for, because you don't know if this guy's totally straightened his act up. You give him a 3-year deal and he's back to being the way he was, you're screwed, right? So he probably did give him a one-shot deal or pay-as-you-go type thing. But now we better make a decision, because I got a feeling the WWE might be contacting him, thinking about maybe rehiring him. So we'll see what happens there. SmackDown suffered some bad ratings again. I don't know what's happening, folks, but I know that Fox isn't happy. And they're going to have to pick the pace up here. You see, the WWE has a problem, and that is that USA Network, before Raw and all that crap, USA Network was not a very well-known network. They were showing reruns of all kinds of old television shows, and they had almost no originals. And the originals they did have, nobody was watching because the network wasn't that popular. WWE kind of made that network. And now the network is a little better, and they have other things, but the WWE kind of made that. The WWE did not make Fox. Fox is a huge network, and they have all kinds of sports, and they have all kinds of ratings. And the WWE is not making or breaking Fox. So Fox is going to insist on some stuff. Fox is not going to play the USA Network game of, well, if they leave, we're screwed. So we better kind of tread lightly and not piss them off too much. No, Fox is not going to do that. I'm telling you right now, Fox is not going to do it. And when they see these type of ratings, Fox is going to be beating on the door saying, what the actual F is going on over here? Because we didn't give you $1 billion for, you know, $1.2 million. Period. We can put something else on that'll draw $1.2 million and not pay close to what we paid you. So they're going to have to do a lot better. So I expect to see SmackDown pick up tremendously. Now, here's some disappointing news. Apparently, Randy Orton and Riddle are going to be there tonight to challenge the Usos to unify this championship. And I told you before that the writers have on the table that eventually the Bloodline gets all the titles. But I didn't know whether Vince McMahon was going to okay it or not. Now, the word is, right now, Vince McMahon has said he's not interested in unifying the tag team title. Which means this is all for nothing. Which means this is all just puff. They're going to go over there and scream and holler and claim they're going to do this at Hell in a Cell, and it's probably not going to happen. Unless Vince McMahon changes his mind. Now, my thought process on this is very clear, and it's always been clear. I think if you're going to unify any titles, the tag team titles would be the greatest ones to do. You'd have more contenders. And I'm telling you right now that Riddle and Orton do not need the tag team belts. As a matter of fact, as bad as it sounds, if I'm the WWE, I'm seriously sitting down with Orton saying, are you sure you want to continue this? I know you're having a ton of fun, and I know it's great, and I know the fans love it, but they are blasting the roof off for you. And we could potentially see Randy Orton, Roman Reigns be a huge match. Now, we could still keep you together as a team, but we just got to get the belts off you. I don't know, man. I'd go in that direction because this is not an anomaly. It's not like, oh, he was popular in his hometown or always popular this one place. No. Every place he goes, The Orton chants begin the second he sticks his nose out of the curtain. We're not hearing Riddle chants. We're hearing Orton chants. And I think the WWE's got to run with it while they're hot, Todd, because, you know, I don't know how long that's going to last.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with Orton and Riddle here. Like you said, they don't need the tag belts. They're already extremely over with the crowd.
Extremely over. Especially Orton, Mike. Once again, this week, roof blows off the building.
Right. And think about this. Earlier in the show, you said that Jimmy Uso, or was it Jay or Jimmy, one of the Usos, let the cat out of the bag and said basically that eventually they will reunite those titles. Right? That's the plan. That's in the plan. Now, Vince McMahon may be trying to throw us off by saying it's not in the plan, but if we're to take Jimmy the Uso at his word, then it's in the plan to unite those titles. Because, yeah, at once some point you're going to put Naomi in the group and you're going to – for her to unite the SmackDown and Raw women's titles, you're going to have to get that tag team title off of her, and that's the point, you know. Who do you trust? Do you trust Vince in saying they're not going to do it, or do you trust Jey Uso in saying that they – or Jimmy Uso in saying that they are going to do it, you know? So who do you trust in this situation?
Well, I'd say this. I'm sure the writers have come up with it, and I think probably Jimmy Uso knows the writers have come up with it and said, oh, this is good. This is what the writers are going to come up with. The problem is the writers could come up with it all they want. If Vince McMahon says no, then it's going to be no. So I'm sure Jimmy Uso was honest in saying this is what kind of the plans are sort of tentatively are. But everybody knows that Vince McMahon could change his mind in 5 minutes. So I wouldn't put a lot of stock in it. And then again, you're going to have to deal with Fox. And Fox is going to say, what are you, taking the champions off? Taking the champions off our network? Why would you do that when ratings are so low? It's a complicated mess. Now, the Usos would be on Fox, obviously, if they win. But there's no guarantee they're going to win. But then again, if you want to appease Fox, you can say, well, look what we're doing. The major champion of they don't even want him on Raw. From what I hear, Fox is saying, how come Roman Reigns is on Raw? He's supposed to be exclusive to us. You said he was exclusive to us. Yeah, but he unified the belts. Well, that better get resolved because we only want him on Fox. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. It's a complicated situation. It really is. So we can let the Phillips tonight on SmackDown. I know for a fact they're going to challenge, and I know for a fact that's probably going to be a Hell in the Cell, not in the Hell in the Cell, but at the Hell in the Cell premium live event. But I have no faith they're going to unify them. I they said this before and didn't.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I don't think there should be no reason to unify those tag titles to be on one show and everything. And like you said, Fox is not too happy with the WWE having Roman Reigns be a double champion as well.
No, and I see he may end up losing one of them, Mike, because from what I'm hearing, Fox does not want him on Raw.
Right, and that's the thing. And just remember, in terms of the ratings, at one point, Fox threatened to permanently put them on FS1. Remember that. That threat could still be out there. If Vince doesn't watch himself, that threat still could be out there, you know, and that's the thing. And we have to see what happens, you know, oh, you're going to put him on both shows? Yeah, we got to because he's got both titles. Well, you promised us he'd be on this one show, you know?
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see how the WWE pulls this off, and it's a shame that the networks have such a big say over it, but unfortunately we live in an age where that's the truth. Thanks for listening, folks, and we will be back here on Sunday. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.